those needs met in healthy ways.
I did, thank you.
And so we need to be, you know, aware of that so that we can be a blessing.
The reason we did this exercise was for you to focus on each other. Too often we don't really focus.
That was really eerie. Like, I'm concerned if they can hear me like I can hear him, we're in trouble. Wow. I think there's something wrong in the sound system because it's coming through these speakers. So hopefully somebody's going to figure that out. But you can just be mature and ignore it, said the speaker. So we're going to continue. I want to just do a very quick commercial, though, first. I didn't hold this up before, but our newest product is a friendship brochure. We believe so strongly in helping our young people understand friendship. This says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because iron sharpens iron, we become like those we hang with. And then there's advice on here about how to be a good friend and make good friends. And this fits a school locker. So we designed it for a middle school, high school locker, or a bedroom closet door, or a refrigerator at your house. So we would welcome you to purchase those if you would like. And then also, for those of you who aren't readers, I have a jump drive. This is a USB drive with my top 6 sellers. And this one is called Kill the Spider. So on here, if you buy this, one of the 6 talks is called Kill the Spider. And that's the idea that you can't sweep away the spider web. You have to find and kill the spider. That's like the fruit and the root issue. So if you're enjoying today and somebody's not here and you wish that person were here, or you'd like to hear more of my messages, if you buy this, you can take it home and it's the top 6 sellers. Of my messages. And if you don't buy it, I'll sell it next week in California, so no stress. All right, let's finish this up really quickly and look at the fifth core need, which is competence. And competence, if you remember, answers the question, what do I do well? And it is rooted in the first 4. If I do not have security, if I do not know who I am, if I do not have healthy belonging, and if I do not have purpose, I don't need to be competent. I will go on record to say, and I pray that no one is offended by this, I'm a fan of homeschooling. I'm a fan of a private school. And I understand that many of you probably do have your kids in public schools. I will not abandon the public schools. About 94% of the children in America are still there. So we need to pray and be active and be a voice of reason, and we need to support the people who are there. We also need to understand, however, in my opinion, and you can disagree, but it's my opinion you get because I have the microphone. I believe because the public schools are not dealing with the first 4, they'll never have the 5th. Because competence, what do I do well, is rooted in the first 4. So if children in a school system do not have security, identity, belonging, and purpose, they don't need to get anything done well, except maybe earn an A to please dad and get mom off their back. So that's just the reality, and it's just awkward. So the right answers, again, would be God. Competence is ultimately found in God. He doesn't just give competence. He is our competence. I feel very strongly about that. There are, again, on the website, many Bible verses that would support the belief biblically that God is for us, not against us, and he will provide for us the wisdom, the compassion, the love, and the everything we need. Amen? So when we are lacking competence, you know, how much do we pray? When I prepare for an event like tonight, how many minutes did I spend in my 3-ring binder, and how many minutes did I spend with God? If I believe he is my competence, I better be turning to him for the answers to the questions, to the needs that I have. Amen? All right. And then, it's not the same as perfection. If you guys are note takers, jot yourself a note that competence is not the same as perfection. Perfection is not what you were created for. Now, in the Bible, when it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, I hope you know that means to be mature. I believe it means to become who you were supposed to be when he chose in his love to make you. Grow up is what that means. Be perfect. Grow up. Stop whining and complaining and, you know, be a little immature idiot if you can. That was honest. You weren't created for a need for perfection, even if your dad wanted you to be. And I'm sad with you. That's why I wrote the book No More Perfect Kids, because perfectionism will break people. Been there, done that. It's not the same as perfection. Competence is having an ability to be who you've been called to be. Do you have that? Do you have the ability to be a mom. When you turn to God and go to a few classes, yes, proud of you for being here. So it's not the same as perfection. And lastly, it's not found by comparing ourselves to others. You guys, now this will preach. Because how many of us are guilty of having an opinion about ourselves and then we go to Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or the Fixer Upper? We thought our house was really nice. That's when we went and we saw somebody else's. We thought that we looked really cute. That's when we got to the church lobby and looked around. We thought, and I love to say to people, those houses on Pinterest, they make all that up. My house, I could make my house look really nice if I photoshopped out the junk. But, you know, you wouldn't know because you've never been there. Am I making sense to you? It's what I call comparisonitis. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. It's a huge concern of mine. Young people need to learn to be satisfied with who they are. Not all of them were created to earn A's. Not all of them are going to make the basketball team. Amen? And it doesn't mean that they're, you know, failures, failed, or wrong. It just is what it is. Here's what you need to understand. You don't need my competencies, and I don't need yours, because we don't have each other's purpose. Amen? So sometimes people are like, I wish I was you. I'm like, you don't want to be me? Like, I don't raise children. I haven't changed a diaper in forever. My niece, Betsy, just had a baby. We were together for Christmas. He's 8 months old. JD, 8 months old. I was never asked to change a diaper, and they were smart to know not to ask me. Do you guys get that? Like, I love children, but there's a limit. You know? It's like, really? No, I don't have my niece's competencies. She doesn't have mine. It's all good. It's totally appropriate. Amen and amen and amen. And then you'll notice that your handout ends with this statement. The main sources of competence include those things that I've listed there for you. Character. See, it's your heart. It's who you are. Your competence is first and foremost found in the character you have. Your patience, your gentleness, your other-centeredness, your authenticity. Again, there's lists in some of my books, or I'll email you one if you don't have one. How they're smart, we're going to talk about decision-making, problem-solving, thinking skills, and study strategies. I'm going to leave it at that. I ask you guys to just believe me. Watch this. You know that pyramid on page one? I want you to go add an arrow. Because, this is so cool. When I am the one who teaches you your competence, you become more secure in me. So if I'm the mom or the grandfather or the teacher or the pastor, and I'm the one that's answered your questions and I've met your needs and I'm there for you in the trenches and I've heard your heart cry and I help you make decisions well to the glory of God, now you know you can trust me and I have become part of your security. And when you raise them up to be well and do well, they become more secure in themselves. So it's not really a linear pyramid that ends. It's a circle that never ends. So although it looks like competence is not related to security, it's very related to security. If you want your children to be more trustworthy themselves, they need the character to do it, they need someone to teach them how, that would be you as a grandfather, you as a mom. Does that make sense to you tonight? So this is the concept of the roots and the fruits. If you want to change your kids' outward behavior, their outward attitudes that are visible, the fruit you see, you need to ask God to reveal to you which of the five core needs is the first one to start with. And sometimes you'll go up the model, sometimes you'll go down the model. And I pray, even though this was really quick, that it was helpful. Was it?
Yeah.
Yes. So how many of you have something you're going to think about? It's great. How many of you are looking forward to having a conversation with someone? That's good. How many of you are looking forward to talking to your kids? You picture that conversation. Now, don't do it tonight. They're tired, so are you. You know, wait. Everybody wait and do it at the right time. Well, praise God. I'm grateful as I look out at you because I really think you mean what you say. All right. I am now delighted to share with you a very quick overview of the eight smarts. This is going to be good. Get ready to listen. Let me start out with the commercial so that you guys can relax and I don't get distracted. So here's the book. It actually, to be honest with you, is my bestseller. This is what I've done, Focus on the Family. Have any of you heard me on Focus on the Family? Oh, that's so cool. We should do a picture, and I'll send it to Jim Daly. He loves it when I do that. So I'm a huge fan. But this is very readable, really fun. Highly recommend the book, 8 Great Smarts. If you are not a reader, it is available on audio. So this is someone else reading my book as an audio book. Also, if you go to Amazon, it is on Kindle and Audible. We just obviously don't sell it that way. Then we also have a bookmark if you have school-agers.
Sorry, I need to change your batteries.
I wondered about that. Can you still hear me? Since it's a commercial, I'll just keep talking. This is a bookmark that has the 8 smarts and how to think, the questions to ask. So if you're homeschooling or helping your kids with homework or a Sunday school teacher or even yourself trying to learn more, this will help you use all 8 parts of the brain, which means you'll probably learn it and retain it a little bit better. Then this is the pocket guide. So this was designed by my staff for middle schoolers and high schoolers. It has, and college, it has all 8 smarts. How to volunteer, what kind of careers might fit, and how to develop relationships according to how you are smart. So if you're interested, that's a cool summary of some stuff that I have. Thanks. Thank you. And then my friend Diana Waring. Diana's an amazing gal. She's written a fabulous history curriculum that a lot of homeschool families use that I highly recommend. And Diana Waring, in this video, DVD, becomes all 8 smarts in a news studio, and she interviews each of the 8 smarts. So she is herself Diana, and then she interviews the picture smart person who's this creative Italian who draws all the time. She's amazing. So if you have kids especially and you want them to understand the smarts, this is a really fun way to do that, and I would delight to sell all of those tonight, and then I'll tell her tonight that all of you bought all of her DVDs, which would be so cool. So there's 8 different smarts. They are wired into you by God. Do not lust after somebody else's. Do not regret that you don't have what you have. Honor what he's done to make you who you are. These are the 8. And actually, unless there's been some physical issue in your life, you have all 8. All of us created by a generous, loving God have all 8, have all 8 intelligences. And I will explain those to you tonight. It's not fixed at birth. Your brain is constantly growing. You are actually tired right now because your brain has been growing tonight. Your brain is a muscle like all other muscles in your body. It can't obviously expand past the skull, so don't worry about that. It's the size of a small grapefruit, and I can cut it with a dull knife because 78% of your brain is water, which is why water is the intellectual energy drink. Intelligence is ever growing, and it can be awakened. If you're listening tonight with children who are young, do not try to figure out which of the smarts are their strengths. You won't know when they're young. Their brain is being awakened, and it's never too late. This is an amazing thing that God's done for us. You know, God could have created us to be marionette puppets on a string that he controlled. He didn't have to give us a brain, and he sure didn't have to give us the right to use it. I wonder if he regrets his decision. But it's his decision. And so we're going to look at what happens to awaken it. And then once it's awakened, the brain can be improved, strengthened, focused, and trained. And those are really my favorite words there at the bottom, to focus and train a child's brain. So the next time somebody says, you know, what did you do all day? Well, I focused and trained my child's brain. What did you do? And just put those lawyers and engineers in their proper place. And we want, of course, to train their brain for good and not to do harm. We believe at Celebrate Kids that most of the harm done in the world is done by really smart people who choose to be evil. I hate to even bring it back, but the Twin Towers, the men who did that were not stupid. They figured out how to get into an airport, an airplane, and a cockpit with a weapon. They figured out what planes would have a lot of fuel and not a lot of people. They knew how to fly, and they never learned how to take off or land. That was brilliance gone bad. Smart people are dangerous without Jesus, and even with Jesus, without training and boundaries, can be foolish. Amen? Without the support that we talked about in my first message. So we want to raise them to be good with their smarts. What I'd like to do tonight is walk you through the 8 intelligences in a way that I hope will be profitable for you. Think about how to study with all 8. How many of you are currently in school? Can I see your hands? How many of you are adults, or any of you adults in training or grad school? Or how many of you do classes at work every once in a while? How many, you're in school right now, hello, you could have all raised your hand. Are any of you in Sunday school, adult, you know, covenant groups or life groups at church where you're learning? And if you hear a pastor, you're learning on a Sunday morning. And then relationships. So this applies to how do I learn best? It applies to how can I be in relationships that are healthy. It's also very relevant to volunteering and careers. So keep that in mind, and it's very relevant to behavior. So you'll see me allude to all of that if I have time. They are in a particular order that I will explain. So the word smart people, you guys can read the paragraph on your own. I'm not going to read that to you. You can just read that if you want to. But when you are being word smart, you think with words. All of you are word smart. When you are in a word smart space and place, you're thinking with words. And if I excite you, you talk and you write. How many of you at break talked your head off about what I had said earlier tonight? Anybody? You know, you talk to your neighbor about, you know, when she said this, it made me think of this. And it was just this day. And other people were hopefully listening to you. Those of us who are word smart, we talk. If you excite us, we talk. Maybe we write. There's different levels of this. How many of you know more than one language? Okay, so you're way word smart. Like, you're way up here. Those of us who know one language, we're down here. And three-year-olds are down here, not because they're stupid, but because they haven't developed all of those brain cells yet. You guys with me there? So all of us have all eight. There's what I call a hierarchy of giftedness. Those of us who can speak, write, read, and listen adequately, that's cool. Others are way above that, and that's cool as well. The only reason this is number one is that it is a school smart. Absolutely. Because what do we do all day in school? We read, write, speak, and listen. So children who do not have a lot of brain cells in school smart will not feel as smart as their peer group. They may struggle in confidence. They may underachieve. I've met adults in seminars like this, and the greatest compliment you could pay me is to come up and say, I think I'm going to go finish college. I know of people who have heard me speak and go, I didn't think I was smart. I thought my brother was the smart one. I wasn't raised with high expectations academically, but you've helped me understand tonight that I'm really a lot smarter than I thought I was, and I'm going to go out there and change the world. So the only reason it's first, it's a school smart. It's not the most important. I will share with you tonight. Could I ask you to do me a favor? If I don't tell you what I think the most important one is, somebody ask me at 9 o'clock. Because I don't want to forget, because you have a right to know what I think. You don't have to agree, but you might want to know what I think. I want you to understand that intelligences can be paralyzed. Again, if I would have been raised by a parent who would have said, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, shut up, go find something to do, what is wrong with you, I would not be here tonight. My brain was not paralyzed. Because my parents saw it as a strength to develop, like I told you an hour ago. Paralysis occurs when you say something with a tone of voice, don't say something they were desperate to hear, give them a look. How many of you know the look that paralyzes? So paralysis occurs. It's not hard to do. The really, really good news is that it can be reawakened. The brain is a muscle, and it can be reawakened. So even at tonight at dinner, if you're thinking you paralyzed your son, I've got great news. Two things I want to say to you. You were not responsible for this at dinner, so give yourself grace. But you're responsible from here on out. Amen? You can still give yourself grace, though. But the good news is that the brain can be reawakened. When I wrote my book and interviewed kids and adults, I'll tell you that the number one thing I was told was that when they apologize, I will try again. So if you believe that you have paralyzed someone's brain, your own brain, with negative self-talk, women, we are very guilty, heads on the pillow, lights out, and how many of us rehearse the junk of the day? I didn't do that. I can't believe I said that. I don't think I called. Oh, my goodness. No. Really? What good does that do anybody? So you can paralyze your own brain. Or you might have paralyzed somebody else's, or somebody paralyzed yours. The really good news is that when you just have the integrity to say, I'm so sorry, to say to a son, I scared you, I'm so sad, I was so quickly angry, whoa, that was not right, please forgive me, I was wrong to react like that, could we have a conversation? Amen? Now, how many of you heard my first talk tonight? That is security. Everything I'm going to say from here on out could be linked back to that pyramid and that idea, and that, again, is your worldview. I teach kids all the time to be smart with their smarts. You know, those of us who are word smart, how many of you are like me, just talk for the fun of it? Those of us who are word smart, we don't need an audience. If you listen to me, it's frosting on the cake of life. I just am so happy with my own voice. But I can also, if I'm not careful, I can tease, gossip, lie and not be caught, name call. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Because The devil doesn't care about your weaknesses. The devil cares greatly about your strengths. So the things that you and your kids were wired by God to do, Ephesians 2:10 says that when you were created, you were given gifts. Ephesians 2:10. They're there. The devil does not want you to operate in your giftings. And so I know what I know. Without my parents, great teachers, and the Holy Spirit, I would be dangerous. I always want to have the last word, and I can impress you with my vocabulary. How ridiculous would that be? Amen? And amen. But how many of you know people like that? So here's the thing. Tonight, if you identify a smart you or a kid has, and they're using it badly, you don't want to paralyze the smart. You want to redirect it in a healthy way. You guys get that? So, like, again, it's not stop that, stop that, stop that. It's how can I help you change? That's what I want you to be listening for. And I'll give you an example if I have time tonight of that very specific idea. Let's look at the second one. The second one is logic. And again, you can read that paragraph on your own. Logic smart kids tend to like math because math does make sense. Not all of you agree with me, but it really does. 2 plus 2 is always 4, and 22 plus 22 is 44. It's logical. How many of you like math or know kids? How many of you had a kid who can count before you knew he could count? Yeah, that's logic smart. How many of you had kids who knew the ABCs before you knew they knew them? They started to sing it. You didn't even teach it. They just picked it up. That's word smart, or in the case of counting, that would be logic smart. So if you enjoy math, it's a gift from God, and it shows up at logic. You also are probably the ones who enjoy science, because logic smart kids love to figure things out, and you love to discover, and you love to explore, and you're very dangerous, because if I say, don't put that stuff in the bowl yet, what do you guys say? Yeah, why not? Like, I don't even have a bowl here. And you're thinking, why not? What's going to happen? This will be cool. And you turn your back around very confidently to get something off the shelf. And you turn back around and everything is in the bowl, but nobody did it. How many of you have told a child not to touch something and right away they touch it? Or you've said, don't taste that, it's really bad, and they want to taste it. Like, what, don't you believe me? No, they wanted to know for themselves. It's very logic smart to be into math and science. My brother is a clinical chemist at Emory University. He's got a world-renowned reputation for something he's invented. My brother credits a gift from our grandparents when he was 10. It's a chemistry set. And my mom and dad allowed him to make messes in the kitchen sink and at the kitchen table. He is a PhD postdoc in clinical chemistry and the former president of the American Association of Clinical Chemists. He can read all my books. I can't read the title of an article he's written. All because mom and dad gave him a toy. And it awakened something that God had placed there that they didn't even know was there. But maybe grandma and grandpa did, because they chose the chemistry side. It's kind of cool. How many of you are really nervous that I haven't given you the words for the blanks yet? How many of you are wondering, did I miss it? Did you say it yet? Did I miss it? What was the word? You're logic smart? And you thought because I gave you the words for word first, I'd give you the words for logic first. Well, I didn't just to play with you. But from now on, they'll always be first, just so that you can concentrate. All right. We're the ones who think with questions, and if you excite us, we will ask more questions. So you know if you're raising these kids or rooming with these kids, because they always want to know something else. Why was their name Elizabeth? Why is the grass green? My favorite was a child who said, Dr. Kathy Lady, if a cow eats green grass, how come his milk is white? Okay. This is also a school smart. That's why it's number 2, because what do we do all day in school and in Sunday school is ask and answer questions. And so if your children are logic smart, this is another reason that school is a safe place and they have high academic aspirations and you do for them as well. But I want you to understand again, just because it's 1 and 2 on the list doesn't make them the most important for life. Obviously, they're really relevant, but they may not be the most important. By the way, the English language makes no sense. Could I have an amen to that? Like, my last name is spelled K-O-C-H, and we pronounce it Cook. Like, that's ridiculous. Quicksand is slow. Boxing rings are square. And you can play at a recital and recite at a play. And you can read a book you've already read that has a red cover. And there could be 2 of you that are going to go, okay, 2? I mean, really? You can record a record. And how come snowman is a compound word and snow fort isn't? And by the way, a drive-thru restaurant is not something you should drive through. Why am I saying all of that? For two reasons. One is, it's possible that something is hard for you because of how you're smart. If you are really logic smart, grammar and spelling and even faith, it's hard. So when people feel stupid, it could be the exact opposite. Raise your hand if that's relevant. Are you with me? You might be thinking of yourself. It might be a child you know who never feels really intelligent and in fact is extremely intelligent. So when I do school assemblies or school youth groups, I tell them all the time, again, don't let your weaknesses win, and don't let a strength you have defeat you from believing in something else. I'm gonna come back and come back to that in just a second, but I'm gonna move on and say this. How many of you homeschool? Some of you homeschool, and that's great. How many of you teach? It's great. Whoa. If you didn't see that, I made a really cool design on the screen. Here's what I want you to know. You can teach to all eight, and you can reteach with a different part of the brain. Reteaching is not the same thing louder and slower. So if you taught a lesson using Word Smart, and they read, and you talked, and they wrote, and they didn't quite get it, or now you're going to have a second day of the same topic, on the second day, ask and answer questions. On the third day, draw pictures. On the fourth day, make a poem. On the fifth day, act it out. So if you're listening kind of with the ears of a teacher, or those of you who are students, you can use your brain in really amazing ways. As a quick example, logic smart children learn best to read with nonfiction. If I'm logic smart, and you make me read a book about an octopus in the back seat of the car that then plays baseball, the whole time you're reading me that book, and it's a real book called My Very Own Octopus, the whole time you're reading me that book, I'm sitting there thinking, my dad is really stupid if he thinks the octopus would still be alive. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I'm a logic smart woman, so I want to read about an octopus. Is it a mammal or a fish? Are those called legs or arms or whatever? And are those really suction cups? And what do they eat? And are they in salt water? How many of you are with me? Like, and how many of you want to Google the question? Don't Google it right now. But, yeah, so the kind of smart you are can determine what you like, what you're good at, what you do in your spare time, how you learn, and, again, how you teach. And my book is full of, every chapter has tons of ideas about how to learn with each of the eight. So I'm going to leave it at that for right now. Jeffy takes a piece of candy. His mom notices him and says, that one is yours, Jeffy. If you touch it, you eat it. Any prediction? Now, look at his face. Does he know what he's doing? Oh, yeah. So he does not get away with it. He is punished for his choice. By the way, that's your power word, choice. Every behavior starts with choice. Every choice is rooted in a worldview. So when you say to your kids, you chose to talk back, you chose to roll your eyes, you chose to slam the door, you chose to be lazy. No, you chose. It was your choice. That's your power word. Choice, chose, choose. Use those words. He made a choice. There's a consequence for it. But here's what you need to know. Mom set him up. We set up logic smart kids. Logic smart kids get in trouble a lot because if they don't have self-control. Like when you say to a logic smart kid, don't step over the line. Okay, this would be over, but this is called straddling. I looked it up in a dictionary. And I know for a fact that on is not the same as over. So if Daddy said, don't go over, I'm going to go on. And when Daddy yells, I'm going to say, look at my feet. How many of you are raising that kid, or how many of you were that kid? I'm loving that reaction back then. I would love to talk to you. So I am not excusing misbehavior. I just want you to see the root. There's that word again. If you want to change the fruit, you discover the root, and you dig it out with care, concern, and love. And then you say, oh, son, my mistake, I set you up. You're so smart, you took advantage of me. Am I smart, Dad? Oh, you're smart. But you know better than that. One of the things I did, all my books, it's heart and head, heart and head, heart and head. You better care about both. The head and the heart. Heart rules. You got to care about the heart because the heart rules. You guys doing okay? Man, I've got to move on. I never teach this that I don't say smart people know they need someone smarter than them. Now, in public schools, I find unique ways to do it. But very quickly, I was raised in church, very religious. Went to college, roomed with a girl of a different faith, got really confused. Came home and talked to my youth pastors, one of my heroes, because he heard all my questions. Every break of college, he heard all my questions. Never made me feel stupid. Pulled a chair up next to me. I didn't have to sit across from him. Opened the Word of God, did not share his opinion with me. And he showed me Colossians 2:3, that in Christ is hidden all wisdom and knowledge. And I came to faith in Jesus Christ, not for his love, but for his knowledge. And I will not apologize for that. I'm an introvert from a great family. Went to school and church with all my cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. Lived kitty corner for my grandparents. Dad cut a hole in the fence. We just walked over it. I'm an introvert, deeply loved. The love of Christ was not compelling to me. I'm a very logic smart person who wanted to know truth. I came to faith in Christ because he knew who I was. Identity controls behavior. Wanted me to belong to the family of God and knew there was a way to make it happen. In addition to Colossians 2:3, so grateful that he taught me that the Holy Spirit would be my teacher. And that after salvation, the Word of God would make more sense than it ever would before. And I came to faith in Christ because I was promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. I then chose as an act of obedience to fall in love with God. And the more that I did, the more I recognized his love for me. That's my testimony. And when, and every chapter of my book has a section on evangelizing to that part of the brain. When I'm on an airplane and God nudges me and wants me to talk about my faith to the person I'm seated with, I always start first trying to figure out how that person is smart. What do you do in your spare time? What do you spend your money on? What are you interested in? Would you mind telling me about your career? And I begin to listen for the words that will indicate to me how that person is smart. And then I find a bridge to the gospel. Because you know what I know? They all need God, but they don't all know they need God. Because some of us aren't talking about a God they know they need. And it's not always going to be the classic passage that you've memorized in your church. The God of the Bible is the God of the Bible. And there's a thousand ways to get people to understand that he's designed for them. Does that make sense to you? So that's it. Word smart would be the names of Christ, the names of God, Greek and Hebrew, at even a young age, can be really inspiring. So you guys are creative. You're brilliant. You wouldn't be here at the World Forum. So begin to think about people you know who are not saved. And how might I bridge from their brain to the God of the Bible so that they would find him compelling? Amen? I'm going to move on. Is that all right? All right. So picture smarts, the third one. And these are the kids who think with pictures in their eyes. They're the classic artists. They might draw and doodle. Maybe you're doing that tonight. They also enjoy fiction and history because they see it come alive in their mind. So if you are picture smart, how many of you went to a movie after you read the book and you didn't like the movie because the main character looked nothing like the one you made in your brain when you read the book? All right? That is irrelevant for me because I'm not very picture smart, so I don't read fiction because I don't enjoy it because I don't see it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's no shame if you don't read. And especially if you don't read fiction. I think reading is a gift and we should pursue it, but I'll leave it at that. If you excite picture smart people, we will add to our pictures. We'll draw another palm tree or another rainbow color, but we will add either on paper or in our mind, we'll be adding pictures. How many of you have had somebody laugh and it seems inappropriate? You've been talking and they're like laughing, they're like, what was so funny about that? I can almost guarantee you they saw something in the words that you were speaking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because that's you. Yeah. So you put the words together and you just made a picture. Like, how many of you are still watching the octopus play baseball? Anybody? You know? And that's your distraction. And so just be aware. One of my favorite things to do to a child who laughs is like, what did you just see? And the kid is like, did you see it too? So much fun. These smarts are just alive. These, by the way, are the people who know what God looks like because they see him when they pray. I have had kids in my church programs say to me, Dr. Kathy, that picture over there of Jesus, he doesn't look anything like that. Like, who drew that? Like, what do you mean? And then they tell me about the Jesus they see when they walk with him by the quiet water. So powerful. And if you've never seen Jesus, it's because you're not very picture smart. You're not a bad Christian. You're not stupid. You're just smart in a different way. It's so much fun to talk with kids about this. To those of you who homeschool in particular, I'm speaking at 8 homeschool conventions this year. I have friends who are extremely familiar with curriculum. So if you'd like any input into curricula that fits a particular kind of smart, you all have my email address on the handout. If you'd like to email me, I'll forward that to someone who can help you. Here's an example from math. Math is logic smart. If you and your kids don't have a lot of brain cells for math, math will always be hard. But let me direct your attention to the screens. There were these 2 sixes who decided to cross the desert. It was really hot. They drank their water way too fast, and by the time they got to their cousin's house, they were very thirsty sixes. What is 6 times 6? Thirsty six. Get it? It's a math curriculum that embeds 3 of the smarts together. Now, a really wonderful way to teach children is to do 1 smart on Monday, 1 smart on Tuesday, 1 smart on Wednesday. That's great. This is even more effective where you find a way to use 3, 2, 3, 4 of the intelligences together. This is obviously picture smart. It's obviously logic smart, and it's also word smart because there's a story. And if you teach a child with all 3 parts of the brain, they're going to have a greater likelihood to get it, retain it, and use it than if you just use 1, especially if that 1 is weak. Does that make sense to you? So this is just an example. You can go to citycreek.com, and you can download addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division. Every math fact has a story, and a storybook, and a flashcard. It's really kind of fun. She also has a DVD where the sixes are walking in the desert. And she's also created, believe it or not, a song for every math fact. So there are those kinds of programs out there. If you have kids in private and public school and they're not able to retain that information, this is a great summer program so that your kids don't forget everything that they learned in the academic year. So that's the kind of thing that's available to you. If you guys start to research it and go to google.com, you'll find a lot of stuff on your own. Well, let me continue quickly. The next one is music smart. Now, these aren't in any order, remember. The first 2 were school smarts. The others are just here. Music smart kids think with rhythms and melodies. They might sing. They might play 1 or more instruments. And if you excite us, we will make music. How many of you hum or toe tap or bebop or click your pen or tap your foot? Drive the rest of us stark raving mad. But those of us who are music smart, we will respond both to a joy excitement and to a stress excitement with music. And a lot of kids, have you ever said to a kid, you're humming and it's bothering us? No, I'm not humming. They don't even know they're humming. I'm so word smart, I can talk and not even know I'm talking. I am not making that up. It just is the way that we are. Here's what I want you to know. I'm so privileged to be here. My desire for you would be that you would embrace all 8 for yourself. And if you're affecting children, that you would help them value all 8. Because all 8 may or may not help in school, but all 8 help in life. I'm a former music gal. I've already told you that. I marched in the band. I played about 20 different instruments. Music's really important to me. I play nothing right now, but I still enjoy music. I still go to the Van Cliburn piano competition in Fort Worth where I live. The Fort Worth Symphony when I can afford it and when I'm in town. I went to see, I don't hardly ever go to see movies, but I went to see The Greatest Showman, which how many of you have seen it? That's a remarkable movie. I cannot stop listening to the soundtrack. It's partly because of the messages of the song, our Celebrate Kids messages, but it's also because I'm a percussionist. And come on, that movie was full of percussion. Seriously, I'm sorry for the rest of you. It was great. Is this making sense to you? Because these intelligences give you joy. My mom was about to die and still talking about music. If your kids only know the school smarts because all you do is talk about the intellectual pursuit, you're going to create them to be okay until they're about 18 years old. And then they die wondering who they are now. And that's dangerous for so many reasons. Amen? Now, most parents are going to yell, get back in here. What have you done to the toilet paper towels? We're better stewards of our stuff than that. Like, I respect that, but here's what I want. I want you to join this parade. Kids tell me all the time, Dr. Kathy, they never listen to my stories. Something happened to this kid. He's so happy he needed a paper towel to expand that da-da-da-da-da-da. I want you to become the cymbal player and march behind him and don't step on the baby and don't leave the kitchen if the water's going to boil over, but join his parade. And later, say later.
Later.
Say it again.
Later.
Say it again.
Later.
You sit down and you say, Jeffy, tell me your story. Dad, the coolest thing happened. And then later, say later.
Later.
Say it again.
Later.
Then, together, you take care of the paper towels. You sit with him. And you zigzag fold them, rip them and stack them, or I dare you to try to put them back on the cardboard too. But even in that moment, you guys, I would love him to not feel punished. Because he is not willfully disobedient here. He's a young child without self-control. And he's responding to the world the way God created him to respond to it. And if you don't receive that, you will paralyze out of him the gift God has given him to declare possibly God's glory. I don't say that lightly, and you weren't responsible for this until right now. So no shame, blame, nothing. Just be free to be. Because knowing what I know, some of your kids are desperate for you to enter in. If you join me on Facebook, you'll see me post stuff like this. Kids tell me all the time, Dr. Kathy, I wish they'd play with me and stop taking pictures of me playing. Oh, they're desperate to be known by you in their moments of joy and even things like fear. Some of us go to church for the worship, and it's the great hymns that remind us of our faith. Keep that in mind as well. I'm going to quickly walk through the rest of these because then we've got to go. Body smart kids think with movement and touch. They might be the classic athletes. My surgeon is body smarter. He's not cutting me open because I want him to cut where he's supposed to and put me back together, right? The dancers, the actors, the play sculptors, the drummers, the mechanic. There's all kinds of ways that the smarts show up. And if you excite these people, they'll move and they'll touch more. They'll pet you to get your attention. And their hands are always busy and their mouth are holding on to something. These kids and these young adults will change the world through movement and action. If you tell them to sit still, you might as well just call it a day. So I talk in my book about beanbag chairs and rocking chairs and clipboards and allowing them to move productively. One of the most important things I've taught children is that they're not allowed to do something that prevents a teacher from teaching, and they're not allowed to do something that prevents a student from learning. I don't care how smart you think you are. How many of you have kids who do this? You know, so they drum like that. That's a body smart, music smart combination. If I put my hand on top of this kid's hand to get him to stop, how many seconds before he moves? Right, he's moving in seconds. His head's be bopping, his toe. There's something happening. You can't get it to stop. You have to redirect it. Some of you, write that down. It's not how do I get him to stop. It's how do I redirect all that energy. Because I can't get him to stop because it's in him. And so what I've taught kids to do is thumb their thigh. And so I just, under your desk, just roll your fingers on your thigh. And I'll say, boys and girls, I know it doesn't make any noise, so I know it's not as satisfying, but it's not about you being happy all the time. Whoa. You live, work, learn, and love in community. Learn to be a good member of the community. You learn, love, work, serve in community. So you can't do it on the desk because you've got a brother in the room and he's distracted. So love your brother by thumbing your thigh. I've had a kid go, well, I sit in school a lot like this, so why can't I do this? Because if you have a music smart kid sitting over there, she's going to make up a song to your beat. So just do it under your desk. Nature smart kids think with patterns. That's how they know a blue jay isn't a bluebird and an oak tree is not an elm tree. They're good with the pattern of things. They might be the biologists. The landscape architects, if they're also picture smart, It shows up for me with architecture. That's a museum in Moscow, Red Square. My dad was an engineer, so my patterning ability doesn't show up with dogs and cats. It shows up with shadows and lights and buildings. If you excite nature smart people, they want to go outside. When children tell me, you know, Dr. Kathy, I don't do science, I can't do science, I say to them, then we haven't found the science yet you can do. These kids will like biology, earth science, oceanography, and meteorology. If you're like my brother, logic, picture, and word, you're into chemistry and physics. Does that make sense to you? So if something doesn't interest you or you don't think you're good at it, live longer and find out if there's something down the road that you're going to be able to be better at. It's 9 o'clock. I apologize because it's 9 o'clock. May I keep talking?
Please.
I'm not offended if somebody needs to leave, but I hope you can hang with us here a little bit. I really think this is important, so I'd really like to tell you about this picture. A family with 5 children had to put their dog down, and the mom and the dad and 4 of the kids were talking in the living room when the mom realized that the 10-year-old son wasn't in the room. She went and found him in his bedroom, sitting pretzel-legged on the floor with his seashell collection, creating this design. He was processing his grief the way he was smart. This is not just fun and games here tonight, you guys. This is serious stuff, and I love that you're here. Because this has way more to do than academic success. Because some of us need help processing our feelings. Amen to that? Amen. The grief as well as the joy. This is a kid who knew who he was. I found out later from the mom, I obviously have permission to share this, that he was an introvert. And the stories in the room just added to the grief. It was like pouring salt on the wound. He just wanted to kind of forget for a little bit. Went in his room, found his collection, because nature smart patterners collect things by design, shape, and so forth. And he created that. And his mom so wisely sat with him while he finished his design. And then she did not say, "Tell me about the dog." What did she say? "Tell me about your design." Brilliant. Boys will always talk more when they're busy. Always, right? That was a quick laugh. Don't stare at them at the table. Tell me what's wrong. Go build a bike or go to Home Depot and walk the aisles and he'll tell you what's wrong. All right, thanks for listening to that. People smart people think with other people. So those of you who are word smart, you talk and you don't need an audience. If you're people smart, you talk and you do need an audience. And if you're word and people, you're like me, talking all the time, and if someone hears it, it's frosting on the cake. Because all of us are all 8 in unique combinations. Those of us who are people smart, if you look at that little paragraph, you'll notice that we are the ones who can read body language well. I have an ability, praise God, to look into your faces and tell if you're confused or bored. I can tell if your faces are pondering, you know, with a curiosity, or pondering with an anger. I can tell by looking at you if you're having an aha. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's people smart. That helps you teach. It helps you as a parent. It helps you in a couple, as a marriage, or if you're dating, to know that, oh, I better stay away. Now, it's possible that kids have this intelligence. They walk up to you to ask you a favor, and then they turn around. And you say, "Can I help you?" And they're like, "No." Because they wanted you to say yes, and you have "no" written all over your face. That's people smart. I think it's extremely important. I'm gonna out it. It's number one for me. The reason it's number one is you'll always be with people. And we have a generation of young people looking down at their devices, texting, not learning eye contact, facial feedback, body language. It's dangerous. This is the smart that will teach your children who to approach and who to walk away from. This is the smart that allows them to walk into a room for the first time at a youth group and figure out where to sit. This is the smart that allows them to walk into a school lunchroom or onto a school bus and figure out where to go and what to say. It will make or break the group. My nephew, Andy, is a young engineer. He got a job right out of college. Long story, I won't go into it. Very, very, very logic smart, intelligent, hired as an engineer. Promoted way faster than anybody else from Cedarville that was hired in the same season. You know why? Because he's so people smart. He now has already, as a young hire, traveled alone to visit with the customers of Cummins Engine. Because he has this intelligence. This is the one that is going to protect kids from sin, protect them from evil, and allow them to enter in and really have healthy, healthy relationships And it obviously helps you with intellect as well. So that is what I think is the most important smart, take it or leave it. Those of us who are people smart, we get our joy from telling what we know. We talk to people when we're excited. These are the kids who will not stay in their bedroom. They're going to come out and tell you, Dad, I just got this answer. Isn't this really cool? Are you finished? No, well, you weren't supposed to see me until, well, Daddy, I'm not finished, but I just wanted you to see number four. How many of you have kids like that? They just can't be alone. It's not extroverted, introverted. I talk about that in the book. It's being people smart. They get their joy from telling what they know. They're really good for the kingdom of God as well because they can discern uniquely. Now, how many of you think that's one of your top four, maybe? Just kind of curious. The next one is self-smart. Self-smart people think by themselves with deep reflection. It's the exact opposite. So the self-smart part of your brain, all of you have all eight, the self-smart part of your brain thinks deeply inside of itself, and you go, huh, a lot. How many of you, some of you just did it. How many of you have done that tonight? You've listened, and you audibly, huh, you had a pondering thought. You were at break, and you really didn't want to talk to anybody because you were deep in your own thoughts. Sometimes you come across as rude, unfriendly, disinterested, but in reality, you're very interested in your own thoughts. You can struggle with being teachable, actually. In my book, I do talk about the struggles that different smarts can have. But you're the ones who get your joy from knowing what you know. So people smart get their joy from telling what they know. Self-smart people get their joy from knowing what they know. All right? And they think deeply inside of themselves. And making decisions is hell for them. Choose a piece of paper, and they go over to the cupboard. Well, I can choose yellow, but I'm not happy enough for yellow. I'm not sad enough for black, but I'm sure not happy enough for yellow. I can choose orange, but that's a pumpkin color, so that's really stupid. I can choose blue, but I chose blue yesterday, so I don't want to choose blue today. Green's a nice color, but my sister chose it. I don't like her today, so I'm not choosing green. Pink, that's an Easter color. It's not Easter yet. Purple, I like purple. I like lavender better, but mommy, she doesn't have lavender. Lavender, I like that new word, and I think that's a really cool color. It's kind of between pink and purple, and I was wishing my mommy had lavender, but she doesn't, so I guess I could choose purple. And how many of you a minute earlier screamed, choose a piece of paper? This is like asking a self-smart person, where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know, where do you want to go? I don't know, where do you want to go? I don't know, let's go somewhere. I don't know, where do you want to go? Self-smart people, they're deep thinkers. Nothing's easy. They get the joy from knowing. They don't want to tell you. They can appear to be slow. No question is easy for them. These kids can feel stupid and have been told they're stupid only because they think so deeply. By the way, this is autism. This is the autism spectrum disorder. A lot of us believe that kids who have been diagnosed are probably extremely self-smart and the people smart wasn't activated early enough. Autistic kids are picture smart, body smart, nature smart, and self smart. Picture, nature, body, and self. And so if that's relevant, again, talk to me off mic, or if you're a reader, get the book. How many think self smart's in your top four? Self smart, quiet, deep. You're brave to come here tonight. If you're self smart, coming here was a stretch. Did any of you raise your hand both times? For those, because if you have both of those in your top four, it is why you've been told your whole life you're moody, schizophrenic, and in need of help. And now some of you are looking at your roommate and your spouse. I saw that. You're looking at your mother who came with you. But this combination can be really, really confusing. You actually have thought you may be bipolar. Now, bipolar is a real thing. Don't get off your meds just because you're here. That's, like, dangerous. But here's the thing, you guys. If you're both of these, I'm going to wrap this up. If you're both of these, we don't know who you are when you wake up, and you don't know who you are either. Well, let's say you came here tonight, and you were people smart, and you met everybody and reminded people that you were here before, and then you sat down, and then you got up to go meet some new people, and the people smart part of you was just filled with joy, and you were knowing what you were knowing as you were talking. Tomorrow you're going to come back. But on the way here, something on the radio activates the self-smart part of you. In a deep, quiet, soul-searching, private kind of internal space, but you got to come, because you paid, you signed up, you think it'll be worthwhile. So you come, and you sit down. And then your friends come up to you. Oh, you're here. I didn't know you were here. Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. 5 minutes later, they come back. You know, we're better friends than that. You can tell me the truth. Are you sure I haven't offended you? No, I'm fine. 5 minutes later, they send a friend to check up on you, and now you're screaming, if you'd leave me alone, I'd really be fine. How many of you know somebody I'm talking about? It's either you or somebody. I've had kids. I don't talk to little kids about this, but I do talk to middle school, high school kids about it, and they've actually said, hey, Dr. Kathy, that's my mom. Sometimes I come home, and it's milk and cookies, and sometimes I come home, and it's go to your room. And maybe she's just having a self-smart date. Like, yes. So if you teach this to children, you can start to use the vocabulary. If you have children who you think have this combination, talk with them. They're angry and confused. I've had a lot of kids tell me, Dr. Kathy, I love my family, but there are just times when I have to be alone. And I ask permission to stay in my room, and I do, but then my mom is like, is everything okay? And Dr. Kathy, I have to make stuff up that I have to make up because otherwise she'll never leave me alone. Everything was fine, but I had to make up something just to get her to leave me alone. So here's what I want to say. If your kids have always been quiet, they're probably born self-smart. If they used to be really outgoing and now they're isolating, something's happened. If your kids have always been people smart and now they're isolating, something's happened. You guys with me there? And if they've always been wishy-washy, a little bit of both, I can almost guarantee you that they were born with both of these in the top 4 or 5. It's confusing internally, but a gift to the kingdom. Because self-smart people know what they know, what they know, what they know, and people-smart people have the guts to share. So this combination, politically, spiritually, intellectually, socially, emotionally, in every way, is really, really vital as we mature. So I hope that's a blessing for you to think about. Be smart with your smarts. I love to tell kids they're too smart to make bad choices. Remember, God chose you to have the smarts you have in the combination in which you have them. So God bless you. Do you have something to close us out with, Dick? Prayer or whatever. We're coming back tomorrow, yes?
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you.
What do you think?